Welcome to another In Focus. We're starting this week Monday with our good friend OPP Constable Joe Tereshock, who joins us once again. Joe, welcome back to In Focus. So good to have you here, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Now, we have you on from time to time when there are initiatives to speak about, but also when there are certain reminders that we want to send out to people. Now, this is sort of a double dose of that, this particular edition of In Focus. We're going to be talking about two main areas of focus here, in order of appearance, shall we say. The long weekend, of course, coming up, the last long weekend of the summer, and then back to school and some things that we need to keep mind of. And before we begin, Joe, I just wanted to mention that a couple of times now I've been driving through Perth and I've noticed more foot traffic by your officers out there that are out. Walking the streets, speaking with people. It looks like, I don't know if that's a stepped up initiative or it's just me turning my head more often.
No, definitely. That is something that we've been trying to do, get out there more and do more foot patrol, do more bicycle patrol through parks, through downtown. And just exactly for that exact reason, getting out on foot and getting out of the cars is a great way to actually engage with people, speak with members of the community, speak with business owners, whatever the case may be. It's something that sometimes it's difficult. I mean, you have issues with just having to deal with the calls for service that are coming in every day. Officers don't always have time to sort of park their car and walk around if they're just going from call to call. But whenever it is possible and whenever the workload does allow it, we're definitely doing our best to get out there and talk to people and just sort of be seen on foot and be seen on the bikes.
It's a great way to make those connections with kids too, right? Like when you're out there.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. The kids, and especially now with it's summer, the kids are still out. They're getting their last little bit of summer vacation in. You want to try and kind of make as many positive connections as possible.
Well, it's great to see. Absolutely. Now, let's shift our attention here. The long weekend is coming up. And you and I, we have this conversation. We could probably just pull up the tape from last year when we had this conversation and play it, and it would pretty much apply. But the thing is, every single year, we get the stats after the fact, and there are always collisions, sadly, involving fatalities. The big four, of course, being speeding, drinking or drugging while driving, improper use of seat belts, and then of course what's the one I'm missing here, distracted driving, right? Of course.
Yeah. Distracted,
yeah.
Driving,
yeah, we always hear about that, so it's important that we do these reminders, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you can never kind of get this message across enough. People, you'd think, oh, they're talking about safe driving again. It's like, well, there's a reason. There's a reason that we continuously have the same focuses on traffic initiatives and we're talking about the same things on long weekends. It's because these are the things that we're seeing. These are the issues that come up time and time again, despite all the campaigns, despite the awareness and all the education that we try to do. These things are still an issue. Excessive speed being one of the big ones, probably the biggest cause of a lot of collisions is speed. And then of course, impaired driving. And then when you get into long weekend stuff as well, impaired driving also includes impaired boating. People that are at their cottages going to, last long weekend of the summer, you got to go to the cottage. They're going to be out on their Sea-Doos. They're going to be out on their boats, but you have to remember that impaired driving is impaired boating. You get charged impaired on a boat, you lose your driver's license. It's treated the same. And we've seen too many incidents where there's fatalities on waterways. A couple of major factors in those usually is, again, kind of in a way, speed or how the boat's being operated. Sober operator or an impaired operator. And then, of course, the flotation devices, life jackets. People not wearing them properly, not wearing the right type, or not wearing them at all, or not having them available. I know I do a lot of social media based on that as well, encouraging people to, like, yeah, the law says you have to have the life jackets in your boat and available, but if they're not on your body when you go in the water, they're not much good to you because there's no guarantee that you'll be able to get it out of the boat or to have somebody get it out of the boat and give it to you. Or if you go into the water and you're unconscious, that's not going to help your seat, your personal flotation device under the bench or under a seat in your boat. It's not going to help you. So wearing it is the only way to make sure it's actually there to save your life if you need it.
Absolutely. And those patrols, we've seen them on the lakes throughout the summer, yielding results. We've seen the pictures on social media, literally of boat bows with probably a dozen different alcohol containers on it. People for some reason just think it, well, it's not as serious. Maybe it's because there's no lanes that you need to stick to when you're on a boat, but there's traffic out there. And you know, every time you advance that motor, you're putting yourself, your passengers and others at risk.
Exactly. Yeah, there may not be lanes, but there are in a way. Like, there's anybody that's done the pleasure craft operator course or the boat operator course knows, like, there's things that you're supposed to be doing. There's keeping boats on your left, keeping boats on your right, like approaching boat. Like, there are rules to follow when you're out on the waterways. And we have, Lanark County in particular is blessed with a lot of great lakes. There's a lot of cottagers. There's a lot of excellent places where people can go for water recreation. But it's not a free-for-all. I mean, there's rules to obey when you're out on the water and you're operating pleasure crafts. And just if everybody can keep in mind, first and foremost, leave the booze on shore. Don't bring it with you. And if you've been drinking, don't then suddenly jump into a boat and think you can pilot a watercraft of any kind under the influence of drugs or alcohol. It's the same as impaired driving. You wouldn't jump into a car. You don't jump into a boat. And hopefully we won't have any tragic stories at the end of this long weekend.
Absolutely. On the water or on the roads, as we were talking about, you and I have spoken about this many times. If you're headed out on the roads over the course of the long weekend, it's going to take extra time. It is. Don't expect to say, you know, it normally takes me 45 minutes to drive there. It's going to take me 45 minutes. Add that extra time, right?
Yep. Give yourself extra time. Be prepared to sit in long lines of traffic. And especially on Highway 7. I mean, people that live in Lanark County, Carlton Place, Almont, Perth area, if you're on Highway 7, you know, Fridays, Sundays, Mondays of long weekends, you're going to see long lines of traffic of people going back towards Ottawa, or people leaving our area to go back to Southern Ontario or to go to where they're from, leaving their cottages that are in Lanark. Just accept the fact that there's going to be increased traffic and you're going to be sitting probably in some long lines and some traffic jams. Just give yourself the extra time and be patient. It's when people start getting impatient or people are in a rush or, oh, I'm going to be late, I was supposed to be here at a certain time. That's when people start doing unsafe things on the road, trying to make up time. And you're not getting anywhere any faster if you end up in a collision. So know that you're going to be dealing with some heavy traffic and just allow for that and give yourself extra time.
Absolutely. And again, you know, we don't need to go into detail about this, but you have to remember too, like, people, the OPP are out on the trails too, watching for ATV riders, you know, and those dirt bike riders and so on and so forth. The same rules apply.
Yep, for sure. I mean, a lot of the ATVs, side-by-sides, things like that, a lot of the dirt bikes aren't permitted on many of the trails in this area, but you still have them out there. You'll still see them on the roadways. And just, again, this is people trying to get the last, you're trying to get the last little bit out of summer. This is the last long weekend for people. There's going to be extra traffic everywhere. Roads, trails, waterways, everywhere. Like, this is kind of the last hurrah. So just everybody keep in mind that you're going to be dealing with that, and operate vehicles of any kind sober and in a controlled and responsible way. And just everybody enjoy the last week, the last long weekend.
Absolutely. Because school starts, there's your transition for you, Joe. School starts coming up on Tuesday. And in our area, we always like to remind people that means increased traffic, not just the school buses, but you've got more kids out there walking at times they weren't before and riding their bikes. And man, they can just pop out of nowhere.
Yep. The back to school means increases in traffic. And it's that time of the morning too. It always seems to coincide with people going to work because everybody's summer vacations are going to be over as well. So first day back at school is also a lot of people's first day back at work because they've been like their summer vacations are done. And now you've got kids walking to school, riding their bikes to school, scooters, skateboards, whatever. And it's spread out over a couple of hours. You got the high school kids starting 7:30 in the morning. They're going to start going. And then by 8:30 or so, then all the elementary school kids start. We're still waiting to see what the situation with the buses will be. I guess that's kind of up in the air in some areas, but that is something to pay attention to as well, because if in the event there is no bus service, the consequence of that is going to be a significant increase in vehicle traffic around schools, because parents are going to have to be driving. Kids that would normally be bused are going to be driven to school by their parents, which is going to cause a major increase in traffic congestion around schools. Again, at this point, when we're doing this interview, we don't know if that'll be an issue or not, but just be aware of it. Listen to Lake 88, listen to the radio, listen to the news, see if like, okay, on the 5th of September, when we have to start bringing the kids back to school, there's no buses. Like, there's going to be a lot of cars, and then there's going to be lineups of cars of parents trying to drop people off. So to small towns like Almont, Perth, Carleton Place, schools are often right in residential areas. So that's going to back up cars around people's homes, and there's not as many ways in and around the schools. So just be aware, there's going to be cars on the road, which might have kids walking out from between them. You hope the kids don't do that, but you never know. Be prepared for kids to do unusual things in and around traffic, or when they're rushing to school, or where they're trying to rush to catch up to friends, or whatever the case may be. They may dart out from somewhere you're not expecting. So as a driver, if you're in a school zone, or if you're driving around a peak time at the beginning of school day or the end of the school day, just keep it in your mind. Like, at any moment, a kid could dart out onto the road or make an unusual move you're not expecting, and be prepared for it. And the slower you're going and the more attentive you are, the better chance you'll have to react to it.
And when it comes to your morning routine, let's say the buses are running, hopefully, fingers crossed. When it comes to the morning routine, it's kind of like when you're traveling on the long weekend, you have to give yourself some extra time to begin with to get used to those bus routes and to that added traffic, because it can slow you down, obviously, as you go through. So there's that. And then, of course, stopping for the school buses as well.
Yes, stopping for school buses. They have the lights, they've got the stop arms. That stuff has all been in place for a long time. It's not new to anybody. Give school buses a lot of distance, give them good stopping distance, both behind the bus and if you're approaching it. Because, you know, the kids are going to, that crossing arm is going to come out from the front of the bus. The kids are going to be going around it. So you can't be like stopping 5 feet in front of a school bus. It's like, oh yeah, you stopped in time for the stop arm, but you're right where the kids are going to try to cross the road. So give distance approaching and from the front and the rear of school buses, and always stop. Don't pass school buses when they're stopping. And, you know, if you're on a rural road and there's a school bus there, there's a chance that it's going to be making frequent stops down these rural roads, and there's not a lot of room to be going around the bus. So allow for that. Don't be in a rush. Don't zip around school buses. They're going to make their pickups, they're going to make their drop-offs, and then you'll be on your way. Don't let being in a rush endanger kids and other drivers.
And give it some time to get used to that routine, right?
Yeah, exactly. And crossing guards as well. The school buses and the crossing guards go hand in hand. When people are used to pedestrians crossing at crosswalks, but it's a little different when there's a school crossing guard at that crosswalk. There's no turning. You don't turn in front of those. You don't turn in front of the cross guard. You don't turn in behind the crossing guard. You wait. All the students have to be across. All the people have to be across, and the crossing guard's got to leave the intersection before people can start turning. Every year we try to get in on this, or try to remind people of it ahead of time. And this year, the Lanark County Detachment will be doing a lot of focus patrols in school zones in communities across the county. And we will be looking violators will be getting tickets for disobeying crossing guards and violations in school zones. So that is a focus of the detachment for the back to school week. So something to keep in mind. We will be out there and we'll be at various spots around the county.
Well, Joe, it's always a pleasure to have you on speaking about these things and the reminders. We look forward to our next chat when we'll be talking about other initiatives that are going on with the OPP in Lanark County. You do a great job in bringing this information to us, and we appreciate it every single time, sir.
No problem. Anytime, Bob. Again, we appreciate the opportunity to get the message out to people. And whenever you let me come on the air, I am more than happy. I'll find something to talk about.
Sounds good, my friend. Lanark County Constable Joe Tarashuk, our guest today on In Focus here on Lake 88. We've got another edition all teed up for you. And tomorrow, you don't want to miss it. I'm Bob Perot. Have a wonderful afternoon.